Hey folks, it's King from Stay Tuned Sports, and I gotta tell you, I love energy drinks. They help give me that boost that I need to finish all my work, get through game film recaps from all of Sunday's games, and they provide that pick-me-up during a very long week. What I don't love is that crash and the jitters, the gross feeling you get with most other energy drinks. And that's why I tried Dubby, and I gotta tell you, Dubby is a game changer with flavors like Dragonade, Beach and Peach, Galaxy Grenade, and my personal favorite, the Dub Sludge. You can find your favorite or just get them all. There's no jitters, there's no crash, because there's no sugar in Dubby. Plus, Dubby contains Neurofactor, an all-natural ingredient derived from coffee cherries, which has been linked to enhanced brain function. You go on over to dubby.gg right now. That's dubby.gg to grab the best energy drink you've ever had. And if you enter the code STSPORTS18 in all caps, you'll get 10% off your order. That's STSPORTS18 to get 10% off of Dubby. Be better.
Shit, there's the rest of the game. Let's go.
Fuck it. I'm a diabetic. I will root for the team that will literally give me diabetes and death. Rooting for a team from Hershey is like a Catholic rooting for Satan. It doesn't make any sense.
This is Stay Tuned Sports, and it starts in 3, 2, 1.
And hello there, all you Stay Tuners. Welcome back to another episode of Stay Tuned Sports. It's your good friend Jimbo here, back with our good buddy King.
Been a while. Been a while since we've all been back in the same barn. Well, you know what? I mean, when you think about it, and the football season happens, you know, there in the mid-February almost now. It's just kind of, it seemed like everybody just kind of needed to decompress for a while and take a bit of a break. And now some things are starting to come up again. We got some NFL free agency that happened. We got some rule changes. We got March Madness, which I'm excited about personally. Go Creighton Blue Jays. Hockey's starting to get right down to the Stanley Cup playoff time. Fuck the Rangers, by the way. lots of stuff going on. Lots of stuff. So I think it's time we jump right back into it, you know?
And the funny part was we were planning on doing a show last Wednesday until I decided to hurt myself at work. So
industrial accident. There was an industrial accident.
Yeah. So I got tendonitis, I guess. I don't know what kind of football injury player we could compare that to. I mean, we did that to my wife with her broken ankle.
I could say maybe a pitcher. Pitchers get tendonitis.
I was thinking that, and I was like, oh, maybe I could say I got Tommy John's, but that's the elbow.
No, that's it. You got to replace your entire elbow ligament with that. That's not what happened.
Yeah.
you pulled the ligament there in your hand, and it was your right hand too, which is a shame.
Yes.
You've been out of commission for a while, so.
Yeah. I never mind. I'm just gonna leave that one there.
Yeah, that's one. We talked about what sports it could be. You know, baseball players or tennis players. Either way, they have trouble playing with their balls as well after tendonitis. So, I mean, I get it. I mean, it's an understandable injury.
Yeah.
That one may suffer. So, but anyway. jumping into other subjects here. What do we got so far? What do we want to talk about? Something we missed? Something that's now? What do we want to do?
Well, I do want to touch on this. I'm when we signed him, I liked him in free agency. Now I absolutely love him. I love Saquon Barkley. He is trying to get Jason Kelce to come back so bad.
No, you don't.
Yes. I don't like him. I love him.
You're going to really like it when he's injured for 14 weeks and standing on the sidelines in his Eagles jacket.
As long as those 14 weeks are the back end of the season that he helps us win the Super Bowl.
No, he's going to be injured. He's going to play like 2 weeks in the beginning of the year and then be injured out for the rest of the year.
No, he's not.
That's just what he does.
We have that good water down in Philly. Keeps you healthy. Water.
We got good water. See, we have water up here. And Philly has wooed it. I don't know. And also, by the way, point of contention. Point of contention.
Okay.
To the people who live in Philadelphia. It's a fucking Italian ice. It's not a wood ice. It's an Italian ice.
I'll admit it, I never heard anybody call it that. Like Italian ice, it's Italian ice to me.
Italian ice. Yeah. Right? Exactly. That's what I'm saying. No, apparently down in Philly and fucking South Jersey, which is its own fucking disgusting animal. Wood ice. They want water ice. What do you think fucking ice is made out of? Dumbasses. It's fucking, of course it's fucking water ice. It's ice made out of fucking water. Ice is made out of water. But there's a certain kind of ice, that beautiful flavored shaved ice that only comes from our Guinea Goombas. How you doing? And that's why it's called Italian ice. Something wrong with you people.
And you can come from DeVito, who might not even be on the team.
He's probably not going to be on the Giants, let's hope. But listen, this is why I'm glad he went and grabbed the bag when he could. He got all those commercial deals and got the appearance fees and stuff like that. And some people were kind of like, oh, I'm tired of him. Oh, why would they do that? Oh, who does he think he is? That's why. Because he knew, everybody else knew. He had like a 3-week window.
Yeah.
And he made the absolute most of it. He was in a Super Bowl commercial for Pizza Hut. You know what I'm saying?
That was a good one, though, too, that commercial.
You know? And other people were like, oh, it's disrespectful. How does an Italian man go for pizza? It's because they give him fucking money. That's why I'm talking about. Like, so good for him. I'm glad he got his bag. I like him. And who knows? The Giants might keep him on as an emergency QB. Keep him on the practice squad. We don't know.
Would you, this just popped in my head. Would you compare him to, like, his story type thing? Would you compare him to Vince Papale?
No. Because Vince Papale literally was off the street. Okay. It was literally a
walk on.
Hey, let's ask the fans to try out and let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And, you know, that guy was, what, he worked in a bar or was from a bar or some nonsense like that.
Yeah.
And he got his shot and it was like, yeah, I mean, that's a good story. Fuck the Eagles. I'll never watch the movie. I know.
Oh,
that.
Oh man, you never seen it?
It's got fucking Mark Wahlberg in it, and it's about the Eagles. That's the same reason I still haven't watched. Like my wife wants me to watch Silver Linings Playbook.
That was I think it's called. That was okay one.
I refuse to watch that movie because it's based and centered around people who are Eagles fans. Can't do it. I will not watch that fucking movie.
So I'll do it. So if Prime Video made a video about me being the biggest Eagles fan out there, you wouldn't watch it?
No, I would probably be in it. They would probably ask me shit about you.
No, I would not put you in that because I know exactly what you say, and I don't want to be discredited and bashed.
What would I say? What would I say to discredit you? That you haven't already said yourself. That's part of public record.
He has his own language. The end.
That's what people are going to learn in the documentary anyway when you try to talk. They're going to hear that anyway.
There's going to be 12 hours of footage for an hour long. Freaking.
You're hearing you sitting down by the crick.
By the crick. okay, you know, talking about players going, you know, getting their money bag. Caitlin Clark was offered by Ice Cube $5 million to come to play for the Big Three.
Interesting offer. Especially because WNBA players don't make that much.
And the party offers, she still could play with the WNBA while she plays with the Big Three.
Big Three is, they play in the offseason anyway. I don't know which. Do they play in the winter? If they play in the winter, then it's the WNBA offseason, then she could still do it and make money. Or does Big Three play in the summertime, which is when the WNBA plays? I don't know. Either way, I'm sure she'll consider it.
I would like to see her take it.
You know, she's probably one of the bigger names just in basketball in general right now. Good for her.
Yeah.
You know, she's made women's basketball actually relevant for the last couple of years here, which is a significant thing to do.
Yeah.
Considering where it is. And I think here's the thing. I think her going to the WNBA will do more for the WNBA, and I think she'll get more endorsement deals from just doing WNBA. Now, again, like you said, they said they'd work out a deal or something that she could do WNBA and the Big Three and still get the $5 million. Like, maybe that works out. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's something we'll have to see. how they work that out. But it would be interesting to see. I'd like to see her hit those 4-point shots, you know?
Yeah.
And go up against some of the other guys there, and then all of a sudden it becomes the battle of the genders, man, and it gets in this whole fucking thing or whatever. And that'll be fine. I mean, that's fine, too. Like, that all works. But, you know, the girl's a good shot.
Yeah.
She's relevant. She's brought relevancy to women's basketball. If she goes to the WNBA, I don't know how much more relevant you can make the WNBA at this point. Like I said, we've had a lot of college women's basketball stars go to the WNBA, and it's still the WNBA. It's still not paid attention to. It's still not, doesn't move the needle.
Yeah.
And that is what it is, you know, and some people will sit there and cry and say that's misogyny or it's sexism or anything like that. It's like, I'm like, listen, it just doesn't move the needle. I don't know what else you want. You need people to watch the game. And I'm going to be honest, you're probably not going to get a lot of men to watch the game.
Yeah.
So why aren't women watching the game is, I think, the question. And why is that? Why hasn't that moved the needle? Why isn't that demographic there watching the game or doing anything like that? Will Caitlin change that? Will she get more men to watch the game? Will she finally get more women to watch the game? I don't know.
Maybe by going to the Big Three, going up against, you know, the other male players, do good against them, and then when she goes to WNBA, maybe that'll make some people go, hmm. Listen,
there is a segment of this society that will never watch the WNBA.
Well, yeah, no.
You know, whether, you know, however you want to paint them, whether you want to paint them as the inner city street hoops guys or the rednecks out in Indiana guys, farm boys, either way, there's that segment of ultra male masculine society, testosterone society, that no matter how good or bad the WNBA is or whatever, they're not going to watch it because it is the WNBA.
Yeah.
And that's just something you have to go and accept. The quest is not to get a demographic that doesn't want to watch you and is refusing to watch you. It's trying to get the demographic that doesn't know about you, hasn't watched you but isn't adverse to you, and getting them to watch the game. And whether that is, you know, another segment of male society, is that the segment of female society that's not really into sports that you got to try to get into it? Because right now, I think the only people that watch the WNBA are females who are already involved or have played or have watched basketball or sports or into that.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's not a very large segment of the female population. You have to find a way to market yourself to get more of these eyeballs onto you. Understand that there's that segment that's always going to be WNBA, it's terrible. Fine. Okay. Now you have a great opportunity here with Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
To market yourself to get eyeballs on you and to do so by grabbing those eyeballs that haven't tried to watch you yet, that don't know so much about you yet, and try to get them in on the game and push that. That's the key. And whether that is going to the Big Three, whether is that, you know, doing more commercials and the way they market themselves or doing like that, like, you need to do that. And stop trying to cut against the grain. Stop trying to force that one segment of society to watch your game and be like, see, isn't it good? Look at it. They got titties and they can play. Like, they're not going to care. They're never going to watch it. You have to give up on that.
Yeah.
You have to understand, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to call them, whatever you want to say like that, they're misogynistic, sexist, fucking pig-headed males. Fine. But they're not going to watch.
Yeah.
Stop trying to market to them. Stop trying to get them in because they're not going to watch. You have to get the parts of society. You have to get the viewers and the demographics that you can still get. And I think that's the key. And I think they have a great opportunity here with Caitlin, but they also had great opportunities in the past with other great female superstars that never worked.
Yeah.
And I think it was just a simple case of marketing because of that. They were butting heads with themselves. They were trying to force that segment of society that watches the NBA and watches all the other male-dominated sports and sees women's sports as a sideshow. They were trying to get them into, you have to watch this, you have to do this, or you're sexist. You're not going to change their mind.
Yeah.
You're not going to pull them in. Smart marketing decision would just be, okay, give up on that. Let's focus on who we can get here and get all of that. If they change up the shit they're doing and do that, they might have something.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see them do something with that. But again, that's up to them.
Yeah.
And how they want to do that and how they want to market that. That's all I'm saying on that. But again, I think it's a smart move by Ice Cube for the big three, because again, the big three is kind of languishing too.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, you know, big three isn't a juggernaut. Like, yeah, a lot of people don't watch the big three. So I think that's a good move for them publicity wise to try to get Caitlin Clark in there. And maybe it also will help Caitlin in grabbing some eyeballs from that. And again, just getting yourself out there, exposing, you know, the world to you, your image, what you can do, whether it's that, whether, like I said, it's the commercials. You already see her in the State Farm commercials. You see her do all these other commercials. Like, there's an opportunity. I would hate to see them waste it and waste her doing the same old shit.
And I just hope too, like, they don't expect, okay, you know, if we change our outlook to go for these people, expect it's not going to happen overnight. You got to give it time. You know, don't give up within a year and be like, no, we got to go back to this way. Like, you got to give it time to, you know, kind of work.
Well, no, that's the thing, is if you do this, you have to understand that, yeah, that you're trying a different marketing strategy. And even if it doesn't work overnight, it's still infinitely going to be infinitely better than what you've been trying to do for the last 25 years. The WNBA has been around for 25 years.
Yeah.
Or more now. This is going to be its 26th season, I think. And it hasn't been anything. It's been not even a blip on the radar.
Yeah.
Like, it's not something that anybody's ever really paid attention to. And as much as ESPN has tried to push it, because, like, they own the rights to it, and they want to push it, and they try to have the part of it be like a, you know, and that's the other part of it too, is like they try to have this social commentary part of the league, and that turns a lot of people off.
Yeah.
I'm here to watch sports. I'm not here to be politicized. And that happened a lot, you know, during 2020, during the COVID stuff, during the BLM stuff, during all that kind of stuff, where sports in general got politicized. And it just turned a lot of people off.
Yeah.
Like, it just, like, people don't want to, people go to sports to escape the shit of the real world.
Yeah.
Stop putting the real world shit into the escapism. And I think that's something they have to realize too, is maybe pull back on the whole social justice shit and the social commentary and all that other, making history, like that kind of shit. Yeah. You know, like, just relax with that, pull back and fucking focus on the athletes, focus on their skill, and focus on the game.
Yeah.
Yes, it's not the NBA, but to be honest, what is the NBA? Oh, the girls can't dunk. Nobody dunks in the fucking NBA now either. They all shoot from the outside.
Yeah,
the 3-point league now. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's fucking, everybody thinks they're Steph fucking Curry. So, like, it's there. You have the ability to do it. If they can just get out of their own way, I think the WNBA can be something.
Yeah.
But they keep on tripping over themselves, and they keep on trying to force a square peg in a round hole. It's not going to work. So, and again, they have a golden opportunity here with Caitlin Clark. And you hope they don't fuck it up.
Yeah.
And you hope that they learn their lessons from the past with some of the other stars that they've had, you know, and that I can't even think of offhand now. And I know there were some that were huge in college, And I can't even remember their names
I
now.
Mean, because the only one I know of.
The band so bad.
The only one I know that I can remember is Lisa Leslie. And she was one of the very, very first ones.
That's what I was thinking of, like Rebecca Lobo back from like fucking 1995 and shit. And Cheryl Swoops.
Yeah. She was another one.
Yeah, that's like what I remember. What was the one? What's the one that just retired from fucking Seattle?
But just think about that right there.
The white girl. I can't remember. Now I can't. But that's the thing. Right there is just the example. I can't remember who the fuck it was.
And that's only four that we could remember over 26 years. You know, like.
Yeah. And the three we mentioned there were all 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Or more. You know, so that's the. That's the thing, man. It's just a case to me of bad marketing, bad strategy, and a refusal to move on to a better way of marketing your league, marketing your players, and trying to get eyeballs on you.
Yeah.
And you should realize that after 25, 26 years of doing the "we're just as good as the boys" and making history and trying to do this whole social commentary thing and trying to push all that, instead of, you know, maybe realize that didn't work. It's been a quarter century, hasn't worked. Let's try focusing on the game.
Yeah.
Let's try focusing on the players and their personalities and do things like that and pull all that kind of thing. Like instead of doing what they've been doing, be normal. That's what I'm going to say. WNBA, be normal. If you're normal, you might pull in some viewers.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think there's a segment of society you're never going to pull in, and they're going to be there. And that is what it is. Stop trying to fight against that tide, because that's just where they're going to be. Try to get the people who are open to it. Try to get the people who don't know what you are and try to get them. Try to turn people early. Get the young girls in there. Get the young people in there. Get eyeballs on you. Again, the WNBA is on in the summertime when there is fucking nothing going on. Like, it is prime time to where you could pull somebody in, where you could just pull people in to just watch some fucking basketball. Pull them in.
Yeah.
Pull them in. You can do it. I listen, your track record's not great, but I believe in you. You have Caitlin Clark. Don't fuck this up.
Sticking with college basketball, obviously I'm not too much into March Madness. I know, you know, following you on Facebook and stuff like that, it seems like this is a very good year overall compared to the past six seasons.
It's been like this tournament has been lacking in Cinderella's, I guess. Like, you know, there hasn't been too many great upsets. The best upset we had was Oakland, Michigan. The Golden Grizzlies beating Kentucky in the first round, which is always fun.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's been mostly a lot of the top four, top five seeds have made it through. I think the only double-digit team that's in there now is North Carolina State. At 11, and that's because they beat Oakland, who was a 14 seed, I believe. Okay. So, it's not great for that kind of story, but I think you got a lot of great stories. Duke has been playing well, so you kind of have a return of the blue blood now that post Krzyzewski.
Yeah,
you know, like this is you know, Duke's actually looking good and playing well without Coach K. I mean, I think that's a decent story. UConn is far and away, I think right now, the best team in the tournament, and that hasn't shown any signs of slowing down. I think you got some interesting matchups coming up in the second round, in the Sweet 16 that's coming up, that'll be being played when this comes out, you know, tomorrow for us as we're recording, but it'll be tomorrow. It'll be today when this comes out, when this airs. There's been a lot, and again, I've been on the Blue Jays. Go Creighton, my sister's alma mater. So I just got, because again, you'd figure a kid from Jersey, what the fuck does he know about Omaha? Yeah. That's the connection. I have a sister who went out there. Creighton.
What happened to that team that the coach was fired during the year, towards the end of the year, but they let him coach out the year, and he ended up making the
he made the tournament, and then I think he even won a game in the tournament. Yeah.
Like
I forget. I don't know. I don't think that was Oakland. I forget which school that was, actually, to tell you the truth right now. I forgot already.
Yeah.
So that's my bad for not knowing that. But yeah. And then people started asking, well, what if, first of all, do you think the school would reverse their decision? And if they did, and you're the coach, would you accept it and come back to the program? I'd be like,
nope.
Nah.
You have to triple my salary. I mean,
I am going somewhere else. I'm going anywhere else.
Yeah.
To go ahead and do that. Let me see if I can find whoever that was.
I mean, the only reason why I liked it was like, no, if that was me, I would have been like, you know, fine, I'm out. I'm going on early vacation, this and that. But you could tell he wanted to keep coaching strictly for those kids. That's the only reason you could think of for him to come back. Well, to keep going with the season.
Right, and that's the thing is when you and I think that was his too. Like, he wanted to coach the kids, and he was like, listen, you fired me and everything like that. Let me coach out the season. Just let me coach out, you know, these last couple games with these kids, and then I'll be on my way. And then the next thing you know, it was Long Beach State's coach. Let me see if I can pull it. What is Dan Monsoon or Monson? I want to say Monsoon because of Gorilla Monsoon.
I was going to say, that'd be awesome.
I think it's Monson. M-O-N-S-O-N. So, yeah, they fired him after nearly two decades after the regular season, but they agreed to have him coach out in the postseason of their conference tournament. Team went on. They won the three games of the Big West tournament and made it to the NCAA tournament. And I don't know if they won or not. They might have.
I think they won one game. That's because, I mean, like I said, I wasn't really following it. Like, I would see the highlights, men and women. Angel Reese, she could kick rocks. But I'm almost positive.
Yeah, I don't like her or LSU in general. I just don't like LSU. So as far as the women's go, and again, I didn't really have a team in that fight. Like, again, I would like to see Iowa and LSU clash again. That'd be a good one. Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese.
Yeah.
And people could take their sides like they did last year and, all that stuff. And again, Angel Reese at the end of the game waving goodbye to that one girl who fouled out. It's like, to her credit, I think she likes being the villain.
Yeah.
I think she's embraced that role. And so that's fine. But then people can't be upset online when people are upset with her. They can be like, oh, you're just upset with her because she's a young black woman. No, people don't like her because she's kind of an asshole.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I don't mind trash talking, but. Don't overdo it. Here's the
thing. I think she embraces that villain role. She embraces being hated. She embraces being the bad girl, you know? And so let her be that.
Yeah.
And I think of like a Dennis Rodman or, you know, like the Pistons from the late 80s, early 90s there, you know, the bad boys, you know, where sometimes you just have players that are like, all right, I'm the bad guy. I'm the villain. Nobody likes me. Fine. I'm going to be an asshole then.
Yeah.
And there's always going to be people like that. You know, I think my first thought always is Sean Avery from the New York Rangers. He's a cocksucker. I still hate him to this day. He's been retired, I think, for fucking 15 years. Don't care. Still an asshole. I would still love to punch him in the face if I ever fucking fall. I'd probably kick my ass, but I don't care. At least I get one punch.
I was going to say, at least get one in.
You know, but I mean, so there is that. I think that's the other thing I think that comes with some of the women's sports and with the women's basketball in particular. It's like everybody feels like you can't say bad things about them. Like, you can't not like an individual, because it's like, why? They have their own personalities. There are people that are good and there's people that are assholes.
Yeah.
Angel Reese is just an asshole. That's okay.
Yeah.
She can be an asshole. And guess what? You can root for an asshole. There are plenty of people out there who love and embrace and root for the bad guys, who root for the villains, who root for the assholes.
Yeah.
It's okay. You could root for the asshole. You know? So if you still support Angel Reese, you still like Angel Reese, that's fine. You can do that. But just don't sit there and say, like, oh, well, you can't hate her because of this or that or the other thing. Yeah, you sure can.
Yeah.
When she acts like an asshole, when she acts like she waved goodbye, and the other, what she did, the other shit to Caitlin Clark last year, and, well, to be fair, Caitlin Clark did the other shit too, you know.
Yeah.
So she did her shit. You know, I think it's fair. I think it goes both ways. I think you can. There are plenty of people who don't like Caitlin Clark, especially in the last game they played. Even her fucking father yelled at her from the stands because she was, you know, kind of being a bitch. You know, and was acting like an asshole.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I that cuts both ways. I think you can absolutely say that too. So, I dislike that idea though, that you can't say anything negative or anything bad, or say, oh, well, they're just not a good person, or they're in the villain role. Well, you can't say that. Sure, yes, you can.
Yeah,
she's allowed to be a bad guy. That's all I'll say.
Yeah.
And that's it. You don't like her. And that's fine. You're allowed not to like her.
And you
know,
that's,
I'm allowed not to like her.
Just like, you know, me and you, you know, you don't like the Eagles. I don't like the Giants. We argue over, you know, but yet there's nothing wrong with arguing with each other as long as you're open-minded, at least.
And this is the thing. Like, I hate the Eagles. I always say how much I hate the Eagles. They suck and da-da-da. But also, there has been plenty of players in Eagles history that I respect and will say, like, I hate playing them, but I like them.
Yeah.
Like a John Runyon, like Jason Kelsey, like a Donovan McNabb, things like that. Then there's players who I'm like, they were always dirty and I hate them, like a Dawkins.
Oh, he's not dirty. Well,
oh, Dawkins was terrible.
Nowadays, with the rules and shit like that, yeah, he's a dirty player.
Well, nowadays with the rules, everybody's going to be a dirty player because you can't fucking tackle anybody. Yeah. We will get into that.
Yes, we will. A little teaser.
You know, like, you're allowed to have, you know, again, you're allowed to have a team you hate but have players on there that you like. You're allowed to have teams that you like but have a player on there maybe you don't like, and also that you're allowed to just generally not like somebody who acts like an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing. I don't feel one way or another about the Boston Bruins, but Brad Marchand is an asshole.
Yeah.
He is an absolute prick. I would kind of like him to be on my team and be an asshole to everybody else, but he's an asshole.
Yeah.
Like that new one the Rangers got, that Rempe kid.
Yeah.
That kid is a douchebag. And he needs to have his face smashed into the boards and then into the ice several fucking times.
First couple of games, I was like, all right, you know, this is cool. This is funny, you know. And after like the fifth fight in the fourth game or whatever, I'm like, all right, come on, dude. Like, we know you're 7'7", 280 pounds, whatever. You're a monster. Fucking play the game.
He fucking elbowed the Siegenthaler from the Devils.
I saw that.
He elbowed him, fucking crushed his head. He got suspended. Should have been suspended a lot longer than what they gave him. Every time he's on the ice, he's a fucking goon.
Yeah.
And listen, I love old school hockey. You know, Eddie Shore. Let's go. Put the foil on. I get all that. I love a good scrap. I love a good fight. I am an old school hockey guy. But the game has moved on a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's gotten to the point now where you don't have goons anymore. You have the players that are on the ice that can play hockey. And then when it comes down to it, you know, if they got to beat ass, they're going to beat some ass.
Yeah.
You know, I get that. This guy is just straight up, I just want to fight. All he is a goon. He's got no hockey skill. He's got nothing. He just fights. That's his only deal. So.
And like, that's why I like Nick Delisarris from the Flyers. Yeah, he could fight.
Oh, of course you do.
Because, you know, number 17 here, he's my old fighter. But
officially retired last week, didn't he?
Officially, he's going to retire April 13th. He signed his one-day contract.
April 13th, so he's got one day. Okay, but
I am going to that game. I looked at the wife. I said, honey, you know we got to go, right? She goes, why? We're just down there. I said, Wayne Simmons is retiring that day. Fine. but, you know, getting back to De La Serres.
Devil's legend, by the way, Wayne Simmons.
Yeah, for what, 1 year?
He was a Devil's legend. he's going to go into the Hall of Fame as a Devil. So.
but, like, you know, like you said, the goons of the old days, they could be up 5-0 or they could be down 5-0. They would just go out there and look to fight. Now it's like, you know, okay, if the game is 1-0, 2-0, you don't want to fight. You don't want to fight that team that's losing.
You have to play the game.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what I think De La Serres is good at. He doesn't just go out there. Now, granted, he fought, what's his name, Rempe,
yeah.
Rempe. I mean, that one, he flat out said, let's go. So, like, I think he took it upon himself, like, I got to put this kid in his place, which...
Is it Rempe? Is there a K in there? I can't remember.
No, it's R-E-M-P-E. So, like...
Yeah. Fuck him anyway. Fuck his name. Fuck everything about him. He's a piece of shit. Not only is he a Ranger, which automatically makes him a fucking piece of shit.
Yep.
But he's a massive piece. I mean, he's just a piece of shit. He'd be a piece of shit for whoever the fuck he played for, you know? And no, I don't even want his ass under those because that motherfucker can't play hockey. All he can do is fucking injure people and fucking throw hands.
Well, even last night when he played the Flyers, I forget what Flyer was shooting, but Remp went to block it and he can't even block the right way. He just flopped. Like, you know, yeah. Like, you know, you're taught how to block it and he just, even the commentators like, you keep playing it that way, you're going to get hurt. You're not going to play very long.
Like, you want to talk about Buddy Ryan rule for hockey? You want to talk about one time where I'm like, let's get somebody, get the 10-minute misconduct, just take the time and just fucking knock that motherfucker's teeth into the plexiglass. Just, I have them sticking out of the goddamn glass. That's the guy I would fucking choose to have that. Fuck that guy. He's 1,000% a big piece of shit. And the Rangers, of course, had to be the first team to clinch a playoff spot yesterday.
Which with I was that pissed.
Win over the Flyers.
I was pissed.
Which sucks. So, I mean, the Devils, of course, the Devils now were going to play well and miss the playoffs by like 2 points or something, like a bunch of assholes like we did, been inconsistent all year. We're 5 points out with, what, 9 games left?
Yeah.
Which, in hockey terms, is nearly impossible to make up with the teams that we have in front of us. So, you know, listen, stranger things have happened, but I doubt that we'll make it. So now the only thing I have to do is root against the fucking Rangers at every possible fucking opportunity and hope they get knocked out in the first round again, whoever the fuck they play.
Yeah.
Because it can't. It cannot be the fucking Rangers.
Yeah.
It cannot be the fucking Rangers. Anybody but the Rangers or the Flyers. Like, definitely not the Rangers or Flyers.
There is one thing I'll say about the Flyer fans that is starting to get on my nerves. Okay, last night, now I watched the game till I would say start of the third period, and then I fell asleep because I had work. We were winning 1-0. I woke up to see that we lost 6-5 in overtime. Oh, we fought back though. Yes, we are a good team that has shown over the past half season that we can fight back. I want to win. Like, I know we're in rebuild, so I'm not saying ditch the rebuild, but there's only so many times you can say, well, we fought back.
I'll say two things about this, and it's going to be hard because it's going to be somewhat positive about the Flyers. So, yeah. But, first of all, it was a hell of a game last night.
It was. I mean, even when I was watching.
That's a game the NHL wants people to fucking watch. That was a good game.
Yeah.
And two, you did come all the way back against the best team in the NHL records-wise, and a lot of people think just in general in the NHL this year, and fought them tooth and nail. If that's a preview of what's going to happen in the playoffs, if you end up playing them, if I'm a Flyers fan, thank God I'm not. But if I was, if I'm one of you guys, I know in general, like, listen, if the Flyers were, you know, 19-54 or something right now, I could understand being like, I'm tired of it. Who gives a shit? Shut the fuck up. I don't want to be like, I get that. But you're not. You're going to make the playoffs. You're in a good spot.
Yeah.
You're playing well. That is a good – last night was a good benchmark for the Flyers.
Yeah.
And if I'm a Flyers fan, I take that as a good. I take that as we can hang with the best teams in the NHL, push them to the brink, and may even win. And one or more, two little bounces our way, if we play and tighten up a little bit better here and there, we can win. We can do better. So I'll disagree with you on that, where it's, again, if this was like last year where the Flyers were already out of it at this point.
Yeah.
It gets frustrating if the fans are saying like, oh, but we stayed with them and we were like that. Like, yeah, shut the fuck up. Who cares?
Yeah.
We're already gone. Who cares? But this is, I think this one has, it's a little bit different just because of how well the Flyers have played this season, where you guys are this year, that you are going to be in the playoffs, that, you know, it's, I think that rings a little different right now.
I am, but, you know, I am excited for April 13th, though. And when I didn't know the Devils were playing the Flyers when I said to the wife, you know, I want to go down for the game. And when I saw that, I'm like, ooh, Saturday game, 5 o'clock? Fuck yeah.
Oh, that's so. So the last game is against the Devils, huh?
Yeah, I guess that's our last game of the regular season.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I hope we ruin a day. And I hope Wayne Simmons, true team, wins.
I'll be pissed off if he comes out with like a Mama Kelsey jersey where half is Devils and half is Flyers. Flyers.
Well, he played for like 7 fucking teams. Like, you know, yeah. But, you know, I'll, you know, I kind of hope we win that, because right now if the Devils win, like, we need to win every game.
Yeah.
To even have a shot, which we're still not going to, so... We'll see. We'll see where we are. We'll see where we are, and if I feel like we should, you know, ruin your day. Well, you're the Flyers, so I want to ruin your day anyway. So, I mean, that's in general.
All right. So let's switch to football, NFL.
Why not? The biggest league in the world. We can see what we can do with that.
I actually want to start with the Steelers. Now, okay, so, you know, we didn't record last week. We did the emergency. Show when Kenny Pickett got traded to Philly. Cordell Patterson just signed with them yesterday.
Yes, and that's a reason. There is a reason why they did that. We'll get into that.
Yeah. Do you think, this is the first thing that popped in my head when I saw the Cordell Patterson signing. Do you think they're going all in for Tomlin? Like, okay, we only got a year or two left with him. Let's get going with this.
Well, if you were going to go all in, you'd do more than just get fucking Russell Wilson and Justin Fields as your quarterback. I'll tell you that. Defensive-wise, there's not going to be too many better teams than the Steelers on defense this year.
Yeah.
Like, the Steelers' defense was already pretty fucking good. And you've added Patrick Queen. And now you got Cordell Patterson, which, with the new kickoff rules, is why they got him.
Yeah.
They got him for no other reason than as a kickoff specialist, because now we're going to have kickoffs again in the NFL. We're going to have returns.
Yeah.
We're going to be able to have returns. And this is the part that confused me a little bit, was seeing people online go, oh, this is terrible. This is going to be unbelievable. The NFL fucks up again. It's like,
no.
Man, about some of the other rule changes? Sure. Absolutely. I agree with you.
Yeah.
This one? This one is an absolute win. This is a 100% win. This is one that I've been talking about for a while. And I remember watching Pat McAfee a while ago, where he was adamant against it, about this type of kickoff system, where he was decrying it. And that's what I mean. That's when I was kind of getting upset with old Pat McAfee and being like, nah, man, I just, you know, got to go into the chat room like, dear Pat, I think you're wrong. And that's how I did it, too. I sounded exactly like that.
Did he block you?
No. He's not a pussy like Kevin Smith. But, like, I don't understand the people who are saying, like, this is a – no, this is an absolute win.
This is a win all around.
Win that allows us to get, plays – back into the league, gets the kickoff to mean something again, gets us to have returns, gets us to have the kickoff returner mean something. Like they were saying last year, it was 80-20 in favor of touchbacks.
Yeah.
Or fair catches in the NFL. Like, the fact that they, when they put the fair catcher for the kickoff, that was fucking retarded.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And I'm sorry to use that word, everybody, but it was. It was a mentally deficient decision. By the clinical definition.
That's better.
Nothing more.
Approved by STS.
It was. It was a bad decision. It was bad, and it led to bad things. We had a Super Bowl that had 13 kickoffs and no returns.
Yeah.
Can't have it. You can't have it. And I think they realized that. So having this modified XFL kickoff, I think was the best solution. I think all the owners saw that, except for three. What was that? I think it was the Packers, the Raiders, and I forget who the third team was. But three teams voted against it. But that was it. I mean, it passed overwhelmingly. It passed.
So for case people don't know exactly what got changed, the ball is going to be kicked off at the 35 now?
It's going to be here. Here's how it's set up. You're going to have the kicker set up at the 35-yard line. That's where they're going to kick off from.
Okay.
Now, you're going to have the kickoff team, all the runners and liners, they have to be lined up on the plus 40, the other team's 40-yard line.
Oh, okay.
No, on the other team. So that's 10 people on there, the kicker back over on the to kick off on the 35. Then you have the other teams has to have at least, what is it? I think 8 people with their foot on the 35-yard. So okay. There's a 5-yard gap between the kickoff team and the receiving team there. And they have to have at least 8 people on there. Then you can also have 2 people that are not lined up on the line,
yeah,
but that are kind of just back a little bit further. That's your 10. And then you're also allowed to have, is it 7 or 8? Whatever. You're allowed to have 2 receivers in the back. You can have your 2 receivers in the back. 1 or 2 people are allowed to be off the line, and everybody else has to be on the 35.
Okay.
What I understand. Now, the kicker, when he kicks it off, the kicker cannot go past the 50, by the way.
Okay. So once the ball's in the air, he can't go past.
He can't go down and do like a – he can't be a coverage guy. He can't go past the 50-yard line. So he kicks it off. Nobody can move until the ball is either caught or touches the ground. Now, the ball has to land between the 20-yard line and the end zone.
Okay.
That's called the landing zone. It has to land somewhere near. If it lands short of that, if it doesn't reach the 20-yard line at least, then it's dead ball. It's treated as a, I guess, what a legal procedure would be today, kick out of bounds, and they put it on the 40.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. If you kick it, it hits in the landing zone, bounces into the end zone and out of the end zone. That's a touchback. That goes out to the 20-yard line. It'll be a regular touchback.
Okay.
If you kick it directly and it lands in the end zone and then it lands out of bounds or gets touched down there, then it comes out to the 30.
So when it hits the end zone, it's more of a penalty than hitting the landing zone and then...
Right.
Okay.
And here's also another thing. There's no automatic touchbacks.
Oh, okay.
You have to down the ball.
So you can't
if you're the opposing team... And, like, the ball bounces in the field of play and then bounces into the end zone, and you just let it go.
That's a live ball.
The other team can go and scoop that up. That's a touchdown.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I like that. Put
down the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
I like that, too, as a rule change.
Yeah. I never liked the whole, I mean, the guy could see the ball is going to go in the end zone, so he just started walking off the field.
He just starts walking off. Like, right.
To me,
I guarantee you there's going to be 1 or 2 of them that do that this year.
Yeah. Yep. And they adopted that from XFL. XFL 2.0.
Yeah, it's a slightly modified version of the XFL kickoff.
Yeah.
Which, and I think USFL did it too.
Yeah. Which UFL starts this season or this week.
And they also got some other stuff too. Like, I know they're going to have an eye in the sky to immediately check for, like, roughing the passer calls or anything like that that goes wrong. I think that was a rule change asked by, I forget who proposed that one.
Yeah, no,
that one passed as well,
which is good.
So that are, they're going to be able to either confirm or overrule a roughing the passer or like a, I think like a targeting or something like that.
I think intentional grounding was the other one.
They're going to be able to look at that. And I know the Lions proposal got passed.
That one I didn't like.
Which was the, if you get one challenge light, one, you still get two more. It does, like it, you,
yeah.
You, it, you, all you have to do is win one of your challenges to get that third challenge.
Yeah, which I don't like. I like.
I do, absolutely.
Why?
Absolutely. Why not?
Because now, like, if you don't get that first one and you get the second one, or vice versa, and you got the third one to use, okay, I'm going to probably set you off here, but you're slowing the game down.
Shut the fuck up.
You should be able to get, if you get both right, then get the third, like how it used to be.
I like the idea. Listen, if you get one right, you should get the third. Like, you shouldn't be like, okay. Like, if you get two wrong, it's like, listen, you had two chances, you fucked up. Deal with it.
Yeah.
I like the idea. Well, listen, it passed overwhelmingly. Yeah. A lot of fans like it, so I think you're in a minority on this one. But
we're the smart minority.
I want it to be, but see, here's the other thing too, and this is something the NFL will never do, and that's unfortunate. Is I loved the transparency and the quickness of the eye in the sky.
Yeah,
I love the fact that you heard the communication between the ref and the booth ref. You saw what they were looking at. You heard the communications, so there was you knew what was going on and what was being discussed. The NFL will never allow that.
Yeah,
I know that, but I think that this introduction of having the booth ref be able to look at and either confirm or overturn the roughing the passer or defensive receiver calls and things like that, the personal foul call natures, I think that's a step that they're taking to say maybe we do that with everything, so that we kind of like how they do now with the expedited review.
Yeah,
they only use sometimes for some fucking reason. I think this is a step towards that, which will then, to your case, alleviate a lot of that delaying of the game and taking too long and doing stuff like that. I think if you have somebody there dedicated that will look at these plays, look at them in real time as they're happening, and then can go down to the ref and say, nope, wrong call, got to change it or not, you know, before anybody has to either waste a challenge, before there has to be anything like that. And then if it's something that's too close for him to call, but the other team still wants to challenge it, then they can challenge it and have that be what it is and still have it go to the Irons guy and have him look and take a more detailed look at it. But I think that's the next step. I think that's what should be done. And I know a lot of people are going to play, it takes out the human element. I don't give a shit. We're beyond that.
Yeah,
we are beyond that. We're already past it. We're already starting to look at them getting rid of the fucking chain game. You know what I mean?
Was that a proposal?
Like, we started to look at the fact that they're going to start testing the sensor in the ball, and having it done electronically, testing the 10 yards and all that kind of shit. So we're moving beyond it. As much as I don't like that, I like the chain gang. I like the fact that my football field has a fucking 10 yard piece of metal chain that fucking determines whether or not you got a first down or not.
Yeah.
And fucking barbarian shit. I love it.
But
the progress moves. Like, we're moving on. I get it. Whether you like it or not, it's what's happening. And the same thing goes for, like, with baseball, with the umpires. Oh, they're going to start doing electronic strike calling. What is even the umpire supposed to be there for? The only reason the umpire is there now is to fuck up calls.
Yeah.
That's the only time. And they fuck them up all the time. That's Angel why Hernandez. We know Angel Hernandez and Joe West is because they fucked up calls all the time. It's the only reason we know them.
Yeah.
That's not that your job shouldn't be to fuck up. Your job should be to get shit right.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that we have to understand, and that's the thing that we have to do. And the NFL is slowly embracing that, I think. So hopefully, again, with that one rule change that's happening, now we have the kickoff rule. I think that's good. I think, again, they're doing it as a test year.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be I think the only thing that they might change after this year is that they move the kicker back either 5 or 10 yards.
Yeah.
I think you'll see them either next year kick off from, because that's the whole thing. If you're trying to avoid touchbacks, if you're trying to avoid that and have more returns, why are we still kicking off from the same spot where these kickers can blast it through the end zone? Yeah, I know it puts it on the 30, but some teams will say, we'd rather do that than risk, you know, having a return or kicking it to there. So, yeah. Especially teams that maybe have good defenses. So there's going to be a little give and take there. I think what you do for that is you move it back 5 or 10 yards. You have them kick off from the 30 or the 25. I think then you start getting it to where it starts landing more in that landing zone. And listen, you might even get some kicks that go short, especially on a windy day.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're talking about some real – imagine that happens. You got a late December game or even a playoff game up at Buffalo.
Yeah.
You just took the lead. You got to kick off now, and you kick off in those windy-ass conditions, and the wind makes sure it lands at, like, the fucking 30, so it's nowhere near there. Now the team gets it at the 40-yard line with, like, 58 seconds left to go, and they're like, come on. Let's go. You're talking about, that's it. That's instant drama now that you have in these games. I'm like, I love it. I love it. I love it. This kickoff rule is one of the best things the NFL has done. I remember when the XFL first did it, you were against it. You didn't like it.
I was against it.
I said, this looks great. And I said, this is going to be in the NFL sooner than later. And you were like, no.
It grew on me, though, as the season went on. It did grow on me.
All I want to say, first of all, I want to go back and find that old conversation. And two, and I say this a lot, never doubt me. I'm always right. I'm always, because what's going on? What do we have in the NFL coming up in this year? It's the XFL kickoff. Who said that? Oh, this guy.
And you know what? When they announced this change, I was as excited as you are right now and everything. And I was like, yeah, like, you know, here it is, mid-March. I'm all pumped for September already. And, oh, there's one more rule change.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about that one yet.
And
we did not talk about that one yet.
Yep. So stupid.
Talk about a downer.
You know, I mean, let's put it this way. It's almost like, you know, prom night, you know, you and your girlfriend or you and your date.
Who assumed when I went to prom? Anyway, or that I had a girlfriend.
You know, your mom and dad is out at the casino or something. Hey, you know, let's go back to our house. And, you know, you get into the bedroom there and get all
where
ready.
Did you grow up?
South Philly.
You had casinos down there?
Yeah, on the corner of Main Street and Broad Street.
Anyway.
And she goes, no, I don't think so. You're all excited, you're having a good time, and then you get shot down, and you're just devastated. And that's what this rule did to me. This devastated me.
Would you say that it would make your hip drop?
I set you up good for that one, didn't I? What a stupid rule.
I've never seen, and I've seen plenty of rule changes the NFL has made that people have been against and didn't like, and there were arguments for or against. The fucking players' union is against this.
Yeah.
The NFL is saying that this is for player safety, and the players are saying, no, don't like it, don't want it. They don't want it. The fans don't want it. The fucking players don't want it. Nobody wants this. Why is this a rule?
Yep.
Guess what? You can't tackle anymore. Another, it's so subjective.
Yeah.
It's so subjective. It's so subjective. Any tackle could be a hip drop tackle.
Basically.
Any tackle. And the whole reason that the whole, because here's the other thing too. Before 2 years ago, did you ever hear the term hip drop tackle?
No.
I personally didn't. Maybe somebody did. Maybe it was a thing. I don't know. I've never heard it before 2 years ago. But I think one of the reasons that it became so prevalent in the league was because that you couldn't hit anybody low. You couldn't hit anybody high. So you left this little space where you had to stop this gigantic muscle momentum moving forward, which puts you in a disadvantaged position to where the only way you can try to get them down is to drag them down.
Yeah.
You know, tackling.
Yeah.
The point of the game is to drag the person to the ground. That is called a tackle. Now, I understand all those years ago when they did the horse collar tackle, because that wasn't so much tackling. It was a last gasp attempt where you're desperately grabbing at the back of somebody's jersey and ripping them backwards. That hurt knees and fucked up people's legs. And I get that.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, even initially, if they were upset with that rule, understood it and came to understand it and accept it as time went on. But this is not that. This is not that. This is not a horse collar. This is not anything. This is, you're removing tackling from the game.
Yeah.
What is the defense supposed to do? What are they supposed to do? And we're going to expect these refs, who don't have the best fucking track record, by the way, of the last couple of years, especially with judgment calls.
Yep.
And you're giving them the most ambiguous definition of what this hip drop tackle is, for them to then make a subjective. It's going to be unless what Albert Breer says comes true, which is that the refs are basically not going to call it, and this is going to be a thing where you hear on Monday or Tuesday a player gets fined for it.
But even then, that's not right.
Well, this is where I think you're going to have the NFLPA going on it. You're going to have, like, people are going to fight this. I'm hoping that this turns into what the pass interference review was a couple years ago, where they made that a rule. The refs paid no attention to it.
Oh, okay.
Like, even when the coaches threw a flag, they just would say, it rules extends, first down, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And like, the rule, like, the call was never overturned. Like, I'm hoping, like, with this, it's something that either the refs don't call or that it becomes so bad.
Yeah.
That they just, okay, it was a one-year rule. It didn't work. We'll get rid of it.
Yeah.
It has to.
And like, my biggest...
Otherwise, the game's over.
My biggest fear with this, and I saw this picture... Was
someone's getting fucked over. Someone's getting fucked over with this rule next year.
Here's the one of the greatest endings to a Super Bowl that could have changed. Tennessee and St. Louis.
I heard about that. I saw somebody bring up that up on, I think it was Dan Patrick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, that in the Super Bowl, you know, like the biggest game you worked all year for, and you're going to get penalized for doing your job. Now, like, I could understand slightly it should be a penalty if you land on a person's ankles. Okay? I understand, like, I know it's hard to not do that, but I understand it. But if you're on his side and pulling him from behind, that should not be a hip tackle. That shouldn't be a penalty.
But this is what I mean. Let's take that example. Let's take that Super Bowl 34 example. That wasn't called the hip drop tackle then.
No.
That wasn't a term that was used. You know what it was called? A fucking tackle. Yeah. He tackled him at the one.
Yeah.
Because it was a tackle. That's what it is.
And exactly.
That's football. He tackled him.
Yep.
Now, here's the thing. It's unfortunate that some people do get injured while playing the game of football.
Yeah.
It is a hazardous game. For of all the rules they've put in there, of all the safety measures they've taken, it is still a hazardous game. That's the game. You cannot take all of the violence and the contact and the physicality out of the game.
Yeah.
If you do that, you end up with, and not to be like one of these assholes that's always going to be, they're going to make it flag football, but you're going to turn it into flag football. You're going to turn it into two-hand touch. You're going to turn it into
the Pro Bowl.
A different game. It's not going to be the game that we watch, and you can't, like, you have, like, this is so, and I'm hoping upon hope that, like, one day I wake up and you hear that they reversed it, like, they came out and said, you know what, you're right, we're going to take a while more, we're going to table this for now, we're going to give it a while, we're going to look into it, maybe we'll do something like that, but they're not going to, they're going to go full bore into this, and like I said, the only hope that I have is the scenario that Albert Breer brought up on Dan Patrick, ESPN, on Pat McAfee, on all the shows that he was on.
Yeah.
Where it'll be like the refs aren't going to call this. This is going to be one of those things where, you know, like last year where we saw running backs getting fined, you know, $2,500 for running into a guy, you know? Like, well, he lowered his head slightly lower than it should have been, and that, you know, like, it's bad. The NFL will find a way to fine and get their money, whatever. But my worry is that there's going to become a situation somewhere at a critical point in the season or in the playoffs or, God forbid, even a fucking Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Where this call is going to come and fuck somebody. And, like, it's that can't happen. But the NFL is setting themselves up for that.
Yeah.
And if it happens, then all I can say is they fucking deserve it.
Yeah.
They fucking deserve it, and they deserve every bit of venom for when that happens. They do.
Yeah. And really, there was only, you know, you said about all the players, you know, being against it, and there was only one, I think, former player. I don't think he plays anymore. Kenyon Drake. He was the only one that was for this rule. Oh, I, you know.
Brandon Marshall, too. Brandon Marshall came out.
Was he? And said it. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, just two players out of thousands, millions. Well, I don't think
millions, that's it. You've had other fucking receivers come out and say it's a bad rule. You've had it. Well, clearly, everybody on defense is like, what the fuck do you want us to do?
Yeah.
Like, coaches have come out again. Like, it literally makes no sense to anybody who knows the game of football, except apparently the fucking owners and the NFL in general. Like,
oh,
like,
who said
it's
it?
So bad.
The Tyler Boyd hit is the video they sent out. I'm just going to say Darius Slay. One of the current players said, you know what? If these so-called people that know what's best for us, why don't they come out onto the field and physically show us how to tackle somebody? Don't stand up in your office. Come down on the field and physically show us how to tackle somebody.
Dude, one of the examples they showed, and I want to give a shout-out to That's Good Sports and Brandon Perna, because he pointed it out on his channel. One of the examples they used was the Mark Andrews tackle where he broke his leg this year.
Yeah.
But the tackler, when he tackled him, was already on the ground.
Okay.
Now, part of the rule is any player that grabs somebody and with a twisting motion of their hips and lower bodies drops their weight onto the player, causing them to then fall onto their legs and or ankles or any lower extremity in an attempt to cause an injury. Like, the language is somewhere around that.
Yeah.
Now, they use that tackle as an example of the rule, but the tackle was already on the ground.
Yeah.
So where did he drop his weight? Because he didn't.
Yeah. So even they're getting the language.
All he did was drag up Mark Andrews to the ground, which he was already on the ground.
Yeah.
Now, again, it's unfortunate that Mark Andrews got a broken leg on that play. It is. It's unfortunate whenever there is an injury on an NFL field. It is. But unless you want to make it like the Pro Bowl's flag football, unless you want to do it like the Olympic Games is going to have flag football, unless you want to have it be fucking South Park's Sarcastable, which is becoming more and more true every fucking day.
Yeah.
Like you can't have it. Like, you can't have it.
Yeah.
And again, I sit here and I'm constantly sitting here and I'm hoping against hope that the NFL realizes its mistake and changes course with what they're doing. And it just doesn't seem like that's something that's going to happen. So it's
just going to be real shitty, though, if halfway through the season they see it's not working, Super Bowl comes, and there's a play that gets affected by this. And then in the offseason, they say, okay, yeah, we're scrapping it. Now you just screwed that team.
Yeah, no, but this is what I mean. I feel like that's my worry. Like I said, if it's a case of where the refs are like, listen, we're just not going to fuck with it. Like, unless it's absolutely egregious, where you see somebody hanging off of somebody's back like they're fucking on Dora the Explorer and they're trying to be backpacked.
Yeah.
You know, like, unless that happens, don't throw the fucking flag. Don't try to do any shit like that. And just let it go.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm hoping happens. That it's such a non-used rule, other than the NFL league offices using it on Tuesday to fine players, that the NFL realizes, okay, it's just the refs aren't doing it. We're not, like, it's such a nebulous definition that nobody can really do it, so we're not going to do it. That's my only worry, is that you're going to have a ref that goes out and there says, I know what the rule is, and I'm going to make sure I enforce it.
Yeah.
Whereas what I'm hoping is that the refs are like, this is too ambiguous. We have no idea what you want us to call, so we're going to call it as we see it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best case scenario that we can hope for.
So, I mean, I think we talked enough about the stupid-ass rule. And then the hip drop tickle.
Because I think the NFL hit a home run on all the other ones.
Yeah.
I really do. I think they hit a home run on all the other ones. I know you don't like the challenge to get the extra
challenge. But, I mean, that's not going to piss me off and go right to my senator or anything like that. But hip drop.
I think they did great on all the other ones. But the one there, the hip drop one, is such an egregious one.
Yeah.
So bad. So.
UFL this weekend kicks off this weekend.
Hey,
so we got a little bit of football.
I'm pissed that both are my New Jersey Generals are not in there. Your Philly Stars are not in there. But you know who is in there, baby?
The Cox.
The Cox. Call the law, baby. Let's go, Battlehawks.
Are they 1 o'clock game? I think they're a 1 o'clock game.
I actually don't know when the fuck they're playing.
Yeah, because it's a 1 o'clock and a 4 o'clock game Saturday. 4 o'clock. And I'll talk to you about this after the show. I'm actually going to do a live show for the 4 o'clock game. I'm actually missing our final baby Pens regular season game against the Phantoms. So the wife's going to take the kid to go see them while I do a live show with you guys.
Maybe I'll join you. Maybe I'll see what I'm doing this weekend. I'm seeing what's going on. Maybe I'll join you. It's something to do.
Yeah, because if you guys watched us when we did the Green Bay San Fran game, I had fun doing it. I think King had fun doing it. We had some participants in the chat there.
You know what I want to do? And I want to maybe I'll shoot it to you now. I don't know. We'll see. But not this weekend, but next weekend. I want to see if you want to go ahead. Maybe we'll do a live stream
of the show.
WrestleMania.
Oh, WrestleMania. Yeah, that's right. True.
WrestleMania 40 in your home stadium there, the Link.
There's a rumor that The Miz offered Jason Kelce wrestling training to show up.
I think there's a couple things that might happen. I think there's a couple people that might show up that I would be interested in. A couple surprises I would like. I know I saw on Instagram, apparently my girl, Alexa's back in the
I
gym.
Saw that. I saw, yeah.
Come on. I need some Alexa Bliss back. Come on.
I didn't know all the shit that happened to her of why she was out. I just thought it was the pregnancy is what kept her out here. She had skin cancer scare.
Yeah, I know that. I think that was even before the pregnancy.
Yeah, that was before the pregnancy.
Where she had the skin cancer, the mole or whatever removed, and she had some other stuff. But yeah, I saw the, when I saw the post of her of being back in the gym, I was like, back in the gym. What is she doing in the gym? Maybe she's getting ready. Maybe she's going to come back.
Want her as just Alexa Bliss, or do you want her as the crazy Alexa Bliss that was building up to be with Bray?
I don't think you can do that now that Bray's gone.
Okay.
So that's not good. Plus, I liked her classic music better.
Okay.
So, like, if that fucking horn fucking blast hits, dude, I'm gonna mark out. You're gonna have to shut down the live stream, man. I'm just gonna see a blur running back and forth. I love it. It's gonna be great. So maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll do a little WrestleMania one. Because again, there's not much going on.
Yeah.
During this time, we got like you said, the UFL coming up. We got other stuff like that. So maybe we'll do some stuff. You know.
One last side rumor: RG3 is possibly losing his pregame spot for Monday Night Football
to Jason Kelce,
which I'd rather him on commentary because I think he would be pretty entertained. But maybe this is a, just to get his toes wet type thing.
Listen, first of all, this is a win. Because anything that gets RG3 off the TV is good.
Yes, I totally agree.
RG3 is fucking terrible. I'm sorry. He's just RG3 on being an analyst and being on the pregame show. He's about as good there as he was during his playing career, which is to say, not great.
Yeah.
Jason Kelce has a personality. He has a knowledge. He has a passion of the game. And again, I don't think he'll be goofy. I saw a lot of people being afraid, like, oh, he's just going to turn into a joke. He's just going to do all this. He's going to try too hard to be funny. And I said, I don't think that's the case. I think if you've watched him on, New Heights, if you've seen him do this, like, he takes the game seriously. He takes talking about it seriously. Will he be humorous? Will he add his own personality, which is a very big personality to the show? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I can 1,000% seeing him do that. And maybe, like you said, eventually he'll move from there into maybe a color commentary role somewhere else during the time. But I it's a win.
Yeah.
I think getting Jason in front of people on the TV with the game of football, that's a win for everyone.
Well, win for you guys, still a loss for us because he won't come back to play with us or for us.
Hey, listen, you can always get Diddy to go in there for the touch push, man.
I was trying all show not to bring anything like that up. even though I sent you that meme.
I did want to bring one more thing up into this.
Okay.
Before we go.
Okay.
Before we end this, we've been known to be some to dabble into the sports gambling,
Okay.
We do our picks during the football seasons. We go by points sometimes. We've talked about, whether we put bets up on FanDuel or DraftKings or whatever we do. So we do a bit of the gambling. Shohei Ohtani, man, and his interpreter. That story came out a little bit last week.
Yeah,
during their season opener out there in South Korea against the Padres, that his interpreter had gotten $4.5 million from Shohei to cover gambling debts that he had incurred. And that was the original story. And then apparently the interpreter came out and apologized to the Dodgers and to Shohei and to everybody for it. And then we get a different story from Shohei's legal team that said, no. This wasn't Shohei being nice and covering his gambling debts. This man stole $4.5 million from Shohei.
Yeah,
I don't know why they turned Texan all of a sudden, but they did. And this man was a major embezzler, and we will be seeking criminal charges against him. And now there's a whole big FBI investigation and everything like that. Now, people have brought up some interesting questions about this. How does the interpreter, first of all, steal $4.5 million? How does he have access to Shohei Ohtani's bank account?
Yeah.
Would you give anybody that kind of power or ability to go into your bank account to take out $4.5 million? Why were there so many differing stories coming from not just the interpreter, but then Shohei's camp? Shohei's camp changed their story about 2-3 times already. So, again, moment of pause. So I present this to you from what you've heard, what you've seen so far. And, again, we don't know yet where the investigation will unveil about this whole situation. What do you think is going on?
Well, to add on to what you just brought up, yesterday or a day before, one of the on X, it wasn't a big sports writer, but there was a person that uncovered 4 or 5 games that is known that he bet on, or someone put a bet in for him and to basically say you get the under, you know, so make sure the other team wins. And for how well he played last year, those few games that this guy posted, he was like 6 earned runs, 0-for-3.
Well, let me stop you right there, because from what I understand, there has been no evidence that there were any bets made by the interpreter or anybody on baseball.
No, this was, they found out that the bets were...
None of the bets so far from any of the sources that I've seen or that have been out there.
Okay.
No bets were made on baseball.
Because I thought I saw that's what started this whole thing. That's what instantly...
So that's what makes me want... The bets were made for, I believe, a lot of it was international soccer.
Okay.
And some on basketball, but no on baseball that has yet to come out.
Yeah.
Now, again, that might be different. Maybe there is something out there now that I haven't quite seen yet. I don't know. But the last I checked, which was fairly recent, there were no bets on baseball games
yet. Okay.
That were seen. So that's why it's also kind of a lot of people were going after it and saying, like, well,
your phone. There we go. You got muted. Oh, okay. Yeah, you got muted for a second there. You want to re-say what you said?
I have to do not disturb. Why did that come through? I don't understand. Anyway.
It's the bookie.
The reason I bring this up is because a lot of people have jumped to the conclusion that it was Shohei making the bets and that it was the interpreter basically covering for him and saying that it was him, and now they're trying to throw him under the bus.
Yeah.
Do you think that it was Shohei making the bets and that it was the interpreter covering for him and that he's taking the fall for, I don't know, some kind of payout eventually down the line or something? Or do you think that it simply was the interpreter making his own bets, getting into way too deep, yeah, and either stealing the money from Shohei or having Shohei front him the money, and then when all this came out, it kind of just, they threw him under the bus anyway. Two of the three scenarios is they're just throwing this guy under the bus.
Yeah. I lean more towards it's Shohei, or, yeah, God damn it, I said his name wrong again.
Shohei.
So we'll just go with that.
Ohtani.
Shohei Ohtani. And I will still mess it up by the end of the show. I still think he made the bets. He either made the bets or he told the interpreter, make these bets for me, but put them in your name, you know, put them in your name. Because $4.5 million, I mean, you got to think these players, not even just him, but all these players, once a month, once every 6 months, sits down with their accountant or, you know, whoever's in charge of their money to make sure they still got money there. Otherwise, they're just dumbasses if they're not just keeping an eye on it here and there to make sure no one's stealing from me or embezzling money. So,
an interpreter is not somebody that's going to have power of attorney.
Yeah,
they're not.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, unless he's your, I mean, even an agent. I can't see an agent having access to
an agent. I wouldn't. I mean, I wouldn't.
That's what I mean. So, like, everything just to me just smells like it's Shohei, and he's thrown his interpreter under the bus.
This strikes me as either Shohei made the bets or the interpreter made the bets and Shohei covered it for him.
But if that's the case,
now that it came out, they're throwing him under the bus.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of the other things, like the this idea that it was the guy who stole $4.5 million with Shohei not knowing about it until last Thursday, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
it doesn't. Like, none of that tracks. Like, as far as just here's the thing: you got to use common sense at some point. You know what I mean? Yeah. And common sense, you know, something doesn't seem right there to me. Do I think Shohei made bets? I lean towards no.
Okay.
As of right now, I lean more towards the, he was really good. He was friends with this. Like, him and the interpreter are real close friends, been friends for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, and have that kind of relationship. So it was probably a thing where the I think the interpreter got in deep and needed to cover some bets, and Shohei helped him out, hoping that nobody would notice. But when that kind of money gets moved around, and again, in California, sports betting is still illegal, so it's probably an illegal bookie, and you get the feds involved, and the feds talk to somebody, and they talk, and they talk, and they see records, and it's like, oh, we see here records of money coming from Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
Now it's like, well, it's crisis mode. Sorry, you're going to have to take the fall for this and say that you stole all the money, because we can't have Shohei be a part of this, because sports gambling in baseball doesn't work out well usually.
And
you know,
and
if we look at old Pete,
I was going to say, and that's the flip side of this. If they find that Shohei, not even just bet on baseball, just made these bets, and say
I disagree.
See, and he gets a 80-game suspension. I think Pete would have a lawsuit ready for him.
I disagree. I think if they find, here's the thing, if they find that he bet, but he didn't bet on baseball, maybe he gets suspended. Maybe it's something like that. But I don't think it's something major. If something comes out that he did make the bets, and that there are bets on baseball, whether it was his games or not,
yeah.
If there are bets on baseball and it's shown that it was Shohei who made the bets and not the interpreter, now you're talking about a problem.
Yeah.
Now you're talking about where baseball is going to have to make a decision.
Yep.
About maybe possibly banning their biggest star, biggest name right now in the league, for either life or for a couple of seasons at least.
You got to give him the Pete Rose treatment.
If it's not for life, then you're going to have Pete Rose jump in.
Yep.
And then it's going to be like, here's the thing. This has the ability, depending on what comes out.
Yeah.
Depending on what the investigation does, this has the ability to be a massive headache for baseball.
This could sink baseball if you really think about it.
And look, baseball's not doing great right now as it is.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we are long from seeing the end of anything close to this.
Oh yeah.
We're not even at the beginning of the beginning of this.
Yeah. This is like three prequels before the prequel.
Yeah, this one's going to get interesting.
Yeah.
This one's going to get interesting. So we'll see how that goes.
Stay tuned.
But I just wanted to touch base on you, Cassie. Touch base. and how you felt like that. And we'll see. Baseball season starting. The Yankees, I'm interested to see how they do. Baltimore, looks like they already got their collapsing out of the way. So hopefully that doesn't happen again at the end of the year. I know. I shouldn't make a joke about it. But
see, again, 5.98 seconds it took me.
We're going to hell.
We are
going to hell.
Quicker than a bridge.
We're taking the key bridge to hell. We are.
We bring it off the show before it's too far gone. I mean, we're gone, but.
I don't like this show is starting to careen like a tanker right to a pylon, man. It's just.
So for your good friend Jimbo, I don't even know what to say.
What?
You're really
gone. You really lost it. You lost it.
Yeah.
How about this? For your good friend Jimbo, my name is King, and we will see you all next time.